Hello and welcome to Indie Radio Garden. This week's highlights from Community Radio in the Philadelphia region.
This program brings ordinary citizens to the air to discuss issues related to health, race, safety, workers' rights, and the will to survive in pandemic times.
And here we have Connie Belay's interview with Tim Hayes from the Neighborhood Volunteer Service. Connie is the station manager of Germantown Community Radio, WRLG, in the Germantown section of Philadelphia.
Germantown Community Radio, WRLG-LP, 92.9 FM in Northwest Philadelphia. Here is some information from a community resident about an effective way to help neighbors during this crisis. Today we're talking to Tim Hayes, who's lived in Germantown for over 40 years. Tim has been running a neighborhood volunteer service that's been especially effective during this coronavirus crisis. Tim, you want to tell us about what you're doing?
Well, I'm a senior citizen. When the coronavirus first hit, I knew it because I also have some underlying medical issues that I should be staying inside. I've lived in Germantown since 1978, 1979, and I've done a lot of voter registration. There are generations of people in Germantown that I registered them to vote and stuff. People walk up to me in the supermarket and say, "Hi, I know you. You're the man who registered my grandmother to vote." When the coronavirus hit, I started getting calls from people because people remember me in the neighborhood. They all call me Mr. Tim. That, my grandmother is afraid to go out, but they're giving away food at this location or that location, and she's got no way to get there. I wasn't about to go out and drive around myself. But I had a lot of people who were younger than me who had been helping me out doing voter registration over the years and their children. And I approached them and asked them that when they go out, could they go to the food bank or wherever and get a box of the food and take it to that senior citizen. That started out with just four or five people. And the word spread. And I got a list of about 37 people who... we do that for all senior citizens. It grew from that to a group of about 15 senior citizens who also need to have their prescription medications picked up. And a lot of them are very, very afraid to go out because they have any number of medical conditions. And some of them know me from, they have been going to dialysis. You know, over the years, I've taken them to dialysis sometimes when their kids couldn't do that. So I got a reputation for doing that. But again, I have a problem myself. I can't be going out driving. So I expanded my list of people who have been going to get food and asked them if they could also help out with that. So I had two groups of people who were going to the drugstores and taking medications to senior citizens, and other people who not necessarily senior citizens, people with MS and some other conditions who shouldn't be out. And it became two different things. Normally on Tuesday, I would deal with the people who needed food, and on Thursday, it was my senior citizen day, where I would deal with people who needed medications or any other thing that senior citizens may need.
It's impressive. Do you think other people who might want to do something like that, would it be very easy for them to start that kind of thing? Or do you think it takes a long time to really develop that kind of network?
Well, I wouldn't call it a network, but that's as good a word as any. Like I said, this has its roots in me establishing a presence in the community over a long period of time and trust. Like I said, I can go to the grocery store and people walk up to me and say, "I know you. Aren't you the man that came to my mom's house and drove her to the polls?" And then we'd be talking about an incident that happened 25 years ago. Just 2 weeks ago, a lady walked up to me and said, "I remember you. When I was a little girl, you were carrying this baby, and you registered my mom to vote." And that was an incident that happened 35 years ago. I have some long ties in the neighborhood. What was different was this unknown thing, this coronavirus, and us all being in lockdown and finding ways to do the things I normally do at the voter registration, which also kept going, by the way. That's another story. But the need for people to get food and prescription drugs was immediate and totally related to the lockdown. And I had these people that, some of these people in my neighborhood who lived within blocks of me were saying, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? When I found out that I was asking people to do that. So as each week went by, it got a little easier and a little easier.
So you're talking about the volunteers, not the people locked in, but
people who wanted to help me. Like I said, okay. People say, what can I do to help you? Because they have known me for years, sometimes since they were little children. I'm talking about people in their 40s who've known me since they were little kids.
Okay. So they're obviously younger people who...
They're older people who asked if they could help, and I turned them down. People in their 50s and 60s and 70s have asked, could they pick up prescription meds for people? And said, you should be staying home yourself. it sounds funny, but there are people that do that. That would defeat the purpose.
Right. So I guess with all the things we don't know about coronavirus, you never know who actually is a carrier and who actually is not a carrier. It's difficult. Do people have to get tested on a regular basis?
The people who are doing this are using the same protocols that anybody else that deliver food are. Okay. They're picking up the boxes. They leave them on your steps, and they call the house or they call me. And the person knows the box is out there, and there's no contact between the two of them, okay? Because I'm already familiar with the fact that young people can't have no symptoms but still be carriers, okay? But that's also true of the pizza man, the man from Amazon, the man from FedEx. So we use the same protocols.
Mm-hmm. Have you had any incidents of any of your volunteers getting sick?
No. The only thing we had a problem with was one time somebody said, why don't I get Uber to bring it over? And I said, no, you don't want to do that, okay? Because once I had an Uber driver who took a city citizen to the drugstore to get this prescription medicine, and their senior citizen got robbed stepping out of the Uber car, and the Uber driver did nothing, okay? So all deliveries are made by the people that who are my volunteers, and the great number of them, I've known them for a long time, or known their parents for a long time. The people that I can trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how do you see everything? Do you see things getting worse, getting better?
Well, now that the election's over, which was something else I was doing, doing voter education and stuff like that, I'm trying to spend more time dealing with my own health issues. I neglected a few things during the election. But now that I've had a few talks with some of my people who want to continue doing this, and I'm turning down people because I'm trying to keep my list not too large because I don't want it to be more than I can handle. Because if it's more than I can handle, somebody might be expecting something and not get it, and it will be my fault. Mm-hmm. I'm asking other people to do the same thing in their own neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I did that in the beginning from the food delivery because this is just Germantown in Mount Airy. And I was asking people in West Philadelphia, in North Philadelphia, to develop their own system. And they said, how do you do that? I said, well, you live in a neighborhood. Go ask the senior citizens that live in your neighborhood, do they need any help? Some of them will want to talk to you, and some of them will say, yes, 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 yes. But I can't develop that list for you because it's your community. In West Philadelphia, that worked like a charm. And in, of all places, Chester, Pennsylvania, use that model to set up voter registration network and a food delivery network for disabled people and senior citizens. And that just happened by happenstance because I was on the phone talking to a political organizer in Chester, Pennsylvania. So that's what I'm trying to do. People ask me, what can I do to help? I say, look for the senior citizens in your own neighborhood, on your own block, on the block next to you.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a routine like you check in the morning or in the afternoon, or does something become part of your own routine for managing this?
Well, the prescription list is locked, okay? It's as many people as I can handle already. Mm-hmm. The food list varies, and people get to me on Facebook or they get to me by my email. And I check my email twice a day. And if somebody's new on there, if it's a volunteer or somebody that needs help, I either refer them to somebody in their neighborhood or with somebody here. I see if I have room for them. I've been lucky. I haven't had to turn down anybody that needed a food delivery in Germantown yet. But I've had to turn down a lot of people in a nice town in North Philadelphia. But I made sure somebody could see them. The big problem is not so much us. It's the health of the food banks themselves. Okay. Some of them are doing very well. And some of them aren't doing very well, okay? Mm-hmm. And people say, well, can I donate food to the food? No, the best thing to donate to a food bank is cash, money, okay? Because they need trucks, they need refrigeration, they need to pay utilities, and they got people who actually work there, and it's their job to work there and sort food out and pack the boxes, okay? And that's where the biggest problem is, all right?
Just getting that out of it. Well, it's been really amazing hearing about what you've been doing. Shows the creativity of people in neighborhoods who really want to help. This is an all-volunteer operation, and it just shows, you know, what people can do for each other. Anyway, thank you for talking to us today.
Anytime.
Next, we have Chris Canito from WRGU. He interviews Jessica Reitz and Nicholas Freeman, founders of Mount Airy Groceries in Philadelphia.
This is Chris Canito. We are on Germantown Community Radio, WRGU 92.9 FM.
My name is Nick Freeman. I've lived in Mount Airy since 2014. So my wife and I, we started this, our nonprofit. It's called Mount Airy Groceries. We're located on 6620 Germantown Avenue. What caused us to start this was really COVID. It was really a direct response to COVID. I was an operations manager for a local catering company, Catering by Design, which is located right here in Mount Airy. And when I found myself furloughed, like a lot of people who work in the service industry were looking for something to do. And we also knew that a lot of people were having a hard time getting food in places like Instacart or like in these, you know, your grocery delivery services were like immediately overwhelmed, I think, because it was very unexpected that all of a sudden everybody wanted to have everything delivered. People didn't want to go out to the stores in those first couple of weeks of COVID. So we knew some people, George Drakopoulos of Melanie Cafe was one of the people that helped us when we first started. He would go do do some shops for us. We kind of stumbled into one step at a time, sort of accidentally, because we didn't really... It wasn't like we set out to start a nonprofit. It was just we wanted to get groceries without, my wife didn't really want to go to the store. She has some, she's immune compromised.
Mm-hmm. You guys have seemed to be very plugged in with your work in the community, and it seems very connected to your work you were doing before COVID, and it's growing, progressing naturally.
Yeah.
How does community correspondent fit? How does this radio work fit into that process? And we've just been joined by Jessica as well.
I think it fits in the fact that we do have people from all different walks of life coming in and out of here. We have high school students that come to volunteer. We have, elderly people that come by that want to buy a box of groceries or need a box of groceries, and everybody in between. So we have a lot of, contact with people, and we're going to try to give, another service that we can provide is to give those people a voice and allow them to talk about how they've been affected by everything that's been going on since COVID. I mean, it's kind of crazy. Like, COVID was enough, but then all this, we've had so much else going on in this country, politically and socially. There's, so much going on. So I think it's a worthwhile endeavor to help give people a voice.
My name is Jessica Reitz, founder of Mount Airy Groceries with Nicholas Freeman. Yeah, so we've been involved in this program since the mid-April, and I would say that, we are providing food for families and individuals, but we also provide a little bit more than that. One of the most interesting aspects of what we do is it's turned into I guess almost like a proxy, you know, social work in a way. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of people confiding in us, coming to us with other issues and the way it's impacted them. Especially with people being out of school, not able to actually attend school, we have a lot of contact with administrators and teachers in the area that talk to us about how food insecurity is affecting the families, their students especially. It's been really hard. A lot of the kids, you know, used to go to school for and they would eat at they would eat at school. So we're getting involved not just with the families themselves, but also on the administrative side. So one of the nice things about what we're, you know, our involvement is that we kind of have the, we have our ears open to the voices of a lot of people. And I think that if we you know, when we have a chance to interview people and talk to them about their stories, it'd be nice to have those different perspectives, the people that are involved, you know, policy making and the people that they're serving. One of the biggest projects we've been working on is we had a few different schools that got grants to address food security during COVID, and they were able to purchase large orders of regular shipments to their students and families. And we have people writing to us. I've had quite a few nice different emails, and also people walking in off the street thanking us for providing, you know, food for the week for the family. Also, I mean, right now, one of the reasons I wasn't able to join the interview earlier is I have a perfect example of the type of people we serve is I have an elderly gentleman who's at home. He can't leave the house because of COVID. He's mm-hmm. very nervous about that. So we've regularly been supplying him very, you know, he doesn't eat a lot. So we provide him little small amounts of groceries every week. He calls and finds out what we have and, you know, we drop it off for him. So definitely the elderly that we've been serving have a lot of them share their stories with us, and I have a few people that are interested in going on the radio. We also serve quite a few people that are disabled, and they have a very similar reason. They may be immunocompromised or simply unable to leave the house because of mobility issues. So one of the nicest things with that program with some of the people that we've been working with who are, you know, have mobility issues is we definitely... we catch up with a lot of them. We regularly check in, and I do have some people that would like to talk about how that's affecting them, because there's many, many, many less services right now for people, public transportation and otherwise, and some people feel kind of isolated at their house. We've created a little bit of a shelter slash safe space during the day. Because school is virtual now, the kids keep odd hours, and sometimes they can't even keep hours. Some of them aren't able to go home during the day to have internet, so they're kind of trying to sit around at the library and try to get internet wherever they can. So now we have Wi-Fi here, so we have a desk here, we have bookshelves, we're going to have books for the kids, and little study spaces so the kids can come in and do their schoolwork during the day. So we're trying to expand beyond just the food issues and maybe help address some of the secondary problems that are associated with COVID and the types of things we're dealing with.
How do you define community?
Community is a, you know, a group of people in a similar location that takes responsibility and care for one another. And there's something very, very special about the neighborhood that we live in and Philadelphia in general. Philadelphia is a city of neighborhoods. It is a city. It's a city of neighbors. But I have to say that truly the neighborhood and its citizens have been putting their arms around each other and taking care of each other. It's been a little bit of a Wild West experience. I mean, all the government services were shut down in the beginning of COVID.
Yeah.
Nobody could really even contact the government for help. And we as citizens had to create our own systems. Even in the beginning, we couldn't incorporate as an LLC or a 501c. There wasn't anybody to go to complete our paperwork, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So something just as simple as that seems so basic, like a functioning of government or business, it kind of didn't matter. Everybody got together, they fed each other, they took care of each other, and they found ways to make it happen.
Yeah, I guess it's just in the intentionality of it, as I think what really makes community is people really, you know, caring about what they see around them when they walk out their door. You know, they want to pick up the trash that they see laying around instead of just walking past it, you know, or adding to it. So just those little things like that. You know, they all add up to what you know, to a community. And
what are some aspects of the Germantown Mount Airy region that are, you think, are unique within the city?
I think one of the best parts about living in this part of the city is the as my husband said, intentional aspect of it. I think that it's a huge mix of class and incomes, of education, of cultural background. But people in these neighborhoods celebrate their differences and generally are curious about their neighbors, and as opposed to maybe just trying to stick with what they know. Nick and I have certainly been blessed with exposure to a lot of different ideas and ways of doing things that have made us better people. And I think the great part about Germantown and the Mount Airy area is the willingness to share creativity, ideas, and collaborate.
How do you both see yourself approaching the community correspondence work?
My biggest goal would be to give people who feel voiceless a voice. I would say many of the people that come through here that we've come in contact with often feel that they lack agency. And the best thing that we've been doing is helping to maybe elevate people to express themselves, and I feel that the community radio program will do that. The woman that we work with, Miss Erica Stewart, has really been a wonderful resource for us in guiding us on how to kind of not just meet people and help them, but help them to help themselves. And the space that we're creating, you know, it is a study space for the young people now. It's a place of peace. When it comes to the produce, I have people calling me all the time and saying, what is this vegetable here or this fruit? There's often things in there that people have never seen before. It's one of the fun things about a mixed produce box is it can be surprising. So our next goal is to teach people not just, oh, here, you know, here's fresh produce and eat healthy, but how do you do that? Mm-hmm. We're really going to be working on programming with recipes. We're going to have online cooking classes. Wow. I have a nutritionist that contacted me that said that she'd love to volunteer to help actually directly address nutrition. We've had school nurses contact us and say they'd like to talk about different health issues. So it's a slow process because it's kind of layering like an onion. But yeah. As far as the community aspect is concerned, we have professionals contacting us who are helping to guide the public and the people that we come across. And I'm super excited about that. And I think all of the stories of the people that we speak to, they get to kind of tell how COVID is affecting them. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we can all learn from each other.
Pavel Uranga and Diane Fleming Myers from the Prometheus Radio Project spoke about COVID-19 testing and free testing locations in Philadelphia, New Jersey, and Delaware.
Diane Fleming Myers, why is COVID-19 testing done?
Deciding to get a COVID-19 test is an important step. If you have active symptoms of COVID-19, such as shortness of breath, a fever, a cough, you've lost your sense of smell or taste, or you've had an exposure to someone with COVID-19, then getting a test is probably a very good idea. Testing is now available for free, and it's available in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware.
What has your experience been with the COVID-19 testing?
The first time that I went with someone for a COVID-19 test, it was an in-the-vehicle test, meaning that it was done right in the car. This was quite a few months ago, and it was at the Philadelphia Navy Yard, and it was early morning. There were very, very few people around, and there were very few signs to point us to our destination, which was actually a parking garage. We were kind of surprised to see that they were testing outside in a place where you would not expect to get healthcare. But the nurses were absolutely fabulous. They were wrapped in their personal protective equipment, their PPE. They were gloved, masked. Their faces were shielded, but their eyes shone with their smiles above those masks, and they were very, very professional, informative, and upbeat. They were very cheerful in giving us the information about the test and helping us feel better about getting tested. They prepared the patient very well during the test itself and during the check-in. And they let the patient know that the test would be a little bit uncomfortable, but it was over quickly, and they were not lying. The test itself takes all of about 10 seconds. A very tiny Q-tip-like swab is put either onto the side of your nostril or into the back of your nose to collect cells that are very specific to COVID-19 itself. The test results are given by phone, usually about 3 days to a week after testing. Most healthcare providers are very reactive and responsible when it comes to positive tests. But if you haven't received your results in that period of time, please call your healthcare provider to make sure that your results weren't missed. 2 months later, I went back again with the same person to the same place, the Philadelphia Navy Yard, for another test. This time, however, there were about 3 or 4 different facilities in the Navy Yard providing the testing, which made me glad to see that more facilities were stepping up to do the test. And there were about 15 or 20 cars lined up this time to have that COVID test done right in the vehicle. This was very encouraging to see that so many people are getting tested. So if they need to, they can either quarantine if they're positive or if they have symptoms that they can get some treatment. Again, the nurses were wonderful and they moved us along like clockwork, gave us a lot of encouragement, gave us a lot of information about the test and prepared us each step of the way. The test is simple, it's free, and that is if you go to a free facility. If you happen to have insurance, I would check with your insurance provider to make sure that you are not going to be charged for the test. In the beginning of the pandemic, I heard of many people getting billed for testing, even if they had an exposure in their workplace. So be careful about that.
Where can we find the COVID testing centers?
If you're in the Philadelphia region, you can go to phila.gov or make a call to Philadelphia's helpline, which is 311, to learn where free testing is happening. In New Jersey, you can go to covid19.nj.gov. That's covid19.nj.gov. Or you can call the COVID helpline for New Jersey, which is 856-218-0300. Again, that telephone number is 856-218-0300. If you live in Delaware, you can go to coronavirus.delaware.gov, coronavirus.delaware, DELAWARE.gov. Or Delaware also has a COVID helpline. You can call the 211 Delaware help number, and they will give you a referral for free COVID-19 testing near you. Also, remember, please, that this is not over yet. Remember to wear your mask. Wash that mask. Wash your hands. Wash them often. Try to keep yourself and your loved ones safe, especially your elders and your children. So please take care of yourself and stay well.
I'm Joanna Wykander from G-Town Radio, 92.9 FM, WGGT-LP. Thank you so much for joining us today on Indie Radio Garden. We here are really excited to share with you the stories from our region, the stories of our neighbors, the stories of our friends, and the exciting work we're doing here in community radio. It's our neighbors sharing stories with our neighbors.